Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from London, England, and transmitted magically by Skype to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and the good news is that we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, from 2 to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from England. Then from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing wonderful gentlemen named Peter Thompson and others from the Findhorn Echo Village in Findhorn, Scotland. It's a fantastic place. I was just there last weekend. So quiet, so beautiful, and I know you'll really enjoy his interview. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also like to thank my friends Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, and especially for their support for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona, as well as my wonderful friends here in London, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, who I saw last week, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness to make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of the show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website and providing wonderful support for many years for the show, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening tonight, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric at KKNW, without whose help this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free in North America at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank everyone, including Corey and Saul and Kirkland, for their wonderful donation for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. If you'd like to send books to for the library or donate funds or perhaps a computer, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell you, in just 2 weeks, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta, which is one of the world's most incredible spiritual places. I was there last September, and for the last 30 or 40 years, I've had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye. And Adama, the high priest of Telos in the Hollow Earth, gave me a miracle healing last September. He restored my eyesight, and now I have perfect, crystal clear 20/10 eyesight in both eyes. I've been told there will be other miracle healings as well happening this summer. So if you'd like to come, the two dates are July 2nd to the 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. We always visit with the Telosians and meet with them when we're there. We also see many Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around Mount Shasta. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. Tomorrow morning, I'll be flying with Michiko Hayashi to Geneva, Switzerland to give presentations. There's an event where she'll be giving her messages from water from Dr. Masaru Emoto. It'll be held at 2 p.m. In Lausanne. Let me get the address quickly. It's called the Center Pro Natura di Champ. The address is De La Carricade 1-1400 Chese Noriez, Switzerland. So I hope I didn't mess that pronunciation up too much. After which, we'll be going to Munich and then Dresden, Germany. In Dresden, we'll be giving presentations from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on June 27th. And then again in Reykjavik, Iceland, on Saturday, June 29th from 7 to 9 p.m. For information on any of these events, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll also be available for readings at in these locations. So if you'd like a reading or more information about the talks, please email me. I'll also have copies of my new book, Messages from the Masters, for $20, which includes a free reading and an autograph copy. I'm continuing to raise money for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. We bought a lot of water filters for the Hopi with the generous contribution of a wonderful lady from Idaho, Teresa, last year. But they still need help. And if you'd like to contribute, $125 buys a new clean water filter, which lasts for years to provide clean water for the Hopi and Navajo Indians. If you'd like to donate, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon Parks from England, and we're both in the same country tonight. Simon, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, Ted. I'm doing very well, thank you. And as as you're in Britain, I'll give a British time. It's 10 minutes past 10.
That's right. And it is the summer solstice. Yeah. We did a water ceremony yesterday with a bunch of beautiful people at Cleopatra's tower. Obelisk, actually, on the Thames River yesterday, and I recorded it, and we'll be playing that ceremony, which we did on the program at about in the next hour at about 3:10 Seattle time, or about 11:11 p.m. here in England. But and Simon, you're going to an event this weekend with Carrie Cassidy. Where is that going to be held, and how can people go?
Well, it's a place called High Elms. It's north of London, High Wycombe. I think it's all sold out, but okay. You could check on the website. So just go to Kerry Cassidy's website. So it's running tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. And I'm speaking on the Sunday, and there are some really good speakers on the Saturday.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know people will really enjoy it, Simon. And boy, there's been a lot going on, hasn't there? My goodness, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it really has. It's getting to the point where it's almost becoming difficult to keep up with it.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Well, I've only got about 30 things to talk about tonight, but I don't know which one to start with first. I guess we'll start with your Connecting Consciousness video from June 15th, and you said something very profound. You said that the push for a war has never been greater with these oil tankers. Now there are two tankers and a probable missile attack. I'd love to hear any updates on that situation.
Well, it's interesting, Ted, because I put these messages out and then I don't ever go back to them. And so when we do the show, you know, it's like you sort of, it's quite good, actually. You pull me back to it. It's amazing because I'd actually written that we were never closer to war. There was a probable missile attack coming. And then two and a half hours ago, we learned that President Trump had authorized a missile attack against Iran. And then 10 minutes, it's hitting the major news. You might not have caught it yet. And then 10 minutes before the launch, he canceled it. So my intel was correct, because I actually said a few days ago that we're going to launch missiles, and I think that was about four days ago, and indeed they were 10 minutes away from it, and I say that's on the major news channels or breaking with it now. So he authorized the attack that we expected, but then just literally pulled back from it.
Oh my goodness. Well, I remember you said that there was a 2-week window for good things to happen, which was an attempt to be hijacked by the bad guys to destroy this chance. Do you still see that? They're trying to upset the apple cart?
They successfully did derail it, because we'd expected some interesting things to occur while the U.S. president was out of America. And then he did his tour and Ireland and France, and then he went back, and then we had another week. And on the Friday, I can't remember now, Thursday or Friday, then the tankers were attacked, and there was a spectre of a war. And so I think a lot of things were put on hold and are on hold while this situation is dealt with. I think the president has done remarkably well in reining in the hawks at the Pentagon and at the White House, I understand, you know, they wanted to hit back. I do appreciate that, but I think President Trump's actions was not a sign of weakness. I think it was a very measured political response, because what the Iranians know now is they were 10 minutes away from being attacked. So that
I
might
see.
Have that might have a good diplomatic effect. So
right.
We'll see where we go with it.
Right, right. Well, I talk to the other side all the time, and President Kennedy, and they all tell me, and he tells me that we will not have a war. I mean, they're trying to instigate one, but I still don't see one happening. I think cooler heads will prevail, and because most people on this planet, Simon, I think they want peace, and they want to make the planet a better place. We're tired of the old conflict game.
Yes, and you're not in America today. But you know, I think the mood in America is not wanting a war. And I think back to the presidential campaign that Trump ran, and it was very much about war should be a last resort. And he's stayed true to his election pledge. He's basically, you know, pulled back on it, which I think gives the other side a chance to think.
Absolutely, absolutely. There was something you mentioned on your most recent video that I thought was really interesting, Simon. I've had several questions on it. The power outage of 26,000 homes in Seattle, and your comment on it was that it was a message to the bad guys that there's software in new aircraft to stop any interference. I'd love some updates on that, because that's a story which we didn't hear at all in the U.S.
Really? Okay. Well, if US guys and go on YouTube and you go on YouTube, unless they've taken the videos down,
right.
You should find someone's done some stuff on the cell phone and just caught some of it. But basically, there were more than 20 power poles, which for no apparent reason, just literally all fell at the same time. Now, the power company reports that there was a bit of a wind, but in their own words, there was not enough to bring these power poles down. So we had 20 odd power poles that came down, domino effect. And somebody did, I understand, I haven't seen it, but I understand somebody did capture one of these falling on their cell phone. So that was apparently put on YouTube. Now, whether it's still there, I don't know, but if you go looking for it. And these power poles took power to the Boeing Corporation. It was, you know, one of the main ways that the power was coming through. So when that went down, some of the building that the Boeing offices have was put out of action.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Another very interesting comment you made in your video was that about the human colonies on Mars from like Alice Collier's old videos on YouTube from 20 years ago.
Right.
And you also mentioned in a one-sentence line that people are still being shipped to the moon and Mars. Does that mean they're being abducted and sent there? Or this is part of the secret space program, which we're not supposed to know about?
Both are true.
Okay.
There are people that don't want to go there and are hijacked. I think in the old days we call it press ganging. They're taken. But other people are part of an ongoing program. Some scientists, military personnel, so the answer is both types, Ted.
Interesting. I would have thought that the good guys, the benevolent ETs, would have stopped that by now. But
Ted, it's free will. You know, it's down to the humans on the planet to stop it.
Oh, I see.
I've tried sometimes. It's very difficult to try to explain to people on Earth the logic of those people off the Earth. And let me just put it to you like this. There is a small number of people who run this planet. There is an infinitely large number of people that live here. And the argument is, well, you guys must want these people to run the show, because if you didn't, you'd get rid of them. You know, there are 8 billion of you, allegedly, and maybe a few hundred thousand in control. Well, you must want them there because you've left them there. Therefore, we're not going to intervene too much. because you're giving them the right to rule you.
I
and
see.
That's the problem, because remember, as you said, these are good guys, and their understanding and knowledge is not subject to the third or the fourth dimension. Their understanding is of the fifth dimension and higher. Therefore, their concept of freedom is not the same concept that we have here on the earth, and their loyalty, if you like, to humanity, it drags them in one way, which is we want to come and help you, but their loyalty to the higher principle of not becoming involved drags them back the other way.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, Simon. Well, thank you for telling us, for explaining that, because I had some questions on it, actually. Boy, there's so much going on right now. I still see do you see another window of opportunity coming up where good things could happen? I guess there always will. Will we get a second chance, third chance? Another bite at the apple?
I've got my conference coming up. I say it's my conference. I mean, it's mine in the sense that for an hour and a half I'm speaking. It's Kevin Cassidy's conference, but it'll be my conference for the hour and a half, and it'll be the other speaker's conference when I speak. And I'm going to be on this, so you'll have to forgive me if I don't be unfair and give too much away. I think there is another opportunity. All I think is it's a delay. So the plans that have been put into effect have been delayed. I don't believe they've been stopped.
Right. That's my feeling too.
Good.
That's my feeling too. And the other thing, there's so many interesting things to talk about tonight. On your website, you had and we've got a bunch of emails too. We will get to those questions, I promise you. But you had a piece about the Manhattan helicopter crash on June 11th, which crashed into a tall building in Manhattan that was only a half a mile away from the Trump Tower.
Yeah.
No one wonders if there might be a connection. I think there is. But any updates from that?
Very, very tightly, very tight security on that. Really, really tight. It's unusual. Generally, I get something, but even I'm not getting anything on this, which tells me that it's not so much it's that important. It tells me that whatever it is still ongoing, or it's linked to something that is ongoing. Generally, when it's a standalone something or other, it's done and dusted and gone, and we can talk about it. But if the wraps haven't come off of it, it's because there is some unfinished business somewhere. But the news media were just selling the fact that, hey, you know, helicopters do drop out of the sky and et cetera, et cetera. Nobody was actually asking, hold on a minute, this is only, you know, half a mile from Trump Tower. What's going on here? And you know, it's the established media deliberately blindsiding the truth. And I thought, no, I'm not going to have that. I'm going to actually, because I know something's going on, I'm going to make sure that at least, you know, I can get some news out. And hopefully in the coming weeks we'll get more. But yes, there was real connection. And whether it was another attack to try and kill the president or whether it was something else, I genuinely don't know. But it was something that is not being covered.
Yeah, President Kennedy is telling me now it was an attempt to behind the scenes to kill him, but fortunately it was stopped before any harm was done. Yeah. How many times roughly have the and again in our media in the United States?
I'll answer the question, Ted. I mean, I've only been given the number six. But other people have told me it's into double figures, which is astonishing, absolutely astonishing. And we know there was one attempt on Trump's family. That's why if members of the audience get the chance to listen to some of President Trump's conversations, he was doing a talk where he talked about, you know, the emails on Hillary Clinton's server.
If
anyone's had a chance to watch this one yet, but he said, and I won't do it word for word, but he said, it had been one email. If I'd used my official, you know, computer or laptop, and I'd sent one email, and then he took a moment, and he said a little love note to his wife, and everybody laughed. He said it would have been the electric chair for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now
that's coded
message. What he's saying is he wants the electric chair for Hillary. Now that's what the coded message there is. You know, President Trump doesn't say things, just throw them away. Willy-nilly, right. We say in Great Britain. He doesn't just throw words away. He actually thinks about them. So when he said, oh, that would put Donald Trump in the electric chair, we know exactly what he was talking about. So this is why we're getting all of this smokescreen going on this stuff on the side, because they're trying to take the president's attention away from these investigations that the president has ordered.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You also, there was something else too about his gold tie. There was a piece about that, yeah, where he switched his tie. What was the meaning of that, Simon?
Well, I'm going to talk about that, but I don't think it's unfair to say. I'll say a little bit. There's been for many, many years, 20, 30 plus years, where we've talked about the potential of the American economy collapsing. It was called, restructuring or resetting. Was a possible devaluation of the dollar. Now, the reason that President Trump is wearing the gold tie is because, not just because it was his birthday, but it does look as if that America might be in a position now to prevent this long talked about collapse. It might well be talking about gold. I can't say that he's got enough gold X, Y, or Z, but what I can say is that something happened which allows certain people in America to feel that they could now weather any economic storm.
Interesting. Okay. And this goes back to, he doesn't just throw things out. He doesn't just wear a gold tie just to wear a gold tie.
No, it's either blue or red, because that's the campaigning colors. He has worn a gold tie before, but at the moment, the bad guys are sending symbolic actions, and he is replying with symbols. So you need to look at everything that's being thrown from one side to the other and try to read really what they're saying. So when he wore the gold tie, I think he was saying that financially America was now over the worst of any potential collapse. You see, Trump doesn't want an economic collapse, because the vast majority of the money, funding the military are coming from, very bona fide organizations. And if that collapses, they're not going to get their money. So Trump is very much working to prevent a financial collapse. I know lots of people wanted the financial collapse because it would really shake people out of their lethargy. It would make people really question things.
Right.
But downside of that would be the trauma and the hardship that would befall so many people.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's really, he was sending a signal that he felt America was just about okay now.
Wow. Well, good. Okay. Thank you for explaining that. You also had a blurb. I got a lot. I'm trying to get through as many things as I can tonight, Simon. So forgive me if I'm putting a lot of things in. But on June 9th, you had a little blurb on your website about Mexico caving in, seizing the accounts of people trafficking individuals, and signing a deal whereby all illegal immigrants are returned to Mexico. And then that meant that a 5% import duty imposed by President Trump would not go into effect. Any updates from that?
I think what we can just say is that it makes an absolute mockery, unfortunately, but it's true, of well-meaning people who have said, how cruel it is to lock these migrants up, and, there are people seeking work and all this. The reality is that when President Trump said to the Mexican government, I'll give you so many hours to stop this, otherwise, I'm going to hit you where it hurts, i.e. your economy. And somehow, the Mexican government was able to shut down the bank accounts of key people traffickers. So what that tells us is two things. First of all, the Mexican government was fully aware of who these people were. That's why they were able to shut down their bank accounts.
Sure.
And secondly, it shows that this isn't individual families, desperate, hungry, starving, wanting work. It is organized by these gang masters who will go around because they're paid, someone's paying them to do this. So what the evidence shows us is that even at the lowest point, the Mexican government must have been involved because they were able to shut down the bank accounts of these individuals. And the only way they would know that is if they were in conversation with them. And so what Trump's done is call their bluff. And he said, OK, fine, do this, but I will start to hit your economy. And you can't afford the United States of America to financially attack you. And so Mexico caved in, as we knew they would.
Wow, that's just amazing. Thank you for explaining that. I don't think anybody in their right mind condones drug dealing and child trafficking in the United States. But there are people who are not in their right mind, and that's. But thank you for explaining that. I really appreciate it. You had some fascinating videos on your website. I have to tell you, I really enjoyed listening to them, watching them, about a Vincent Fusca, F-U-S-C-A. And where his face and that of JFK Jr. were like superimposed with each other, along with a video of a special forces in Los Angeles with hazmat suits and a videotape of soldiers who disappeared. Now, when that happened, it must have been last month, some weeks ago, I got several emails asking me. It wasn't a question directed at you, Simon. I guess I should have asked it, but asking me what was going on and if I'd heard about it, and I hadn't heard a thing. What more, if anything, have you heard about the Vincent Fusca and the Special Forces video in Los Angeles?
Well, there's two different things, isn't it? The Vincent is an ongoing, interesting thing. The jury's out as to whether he is, somebody special or whether he's not, and that's going to be the subject of my talk on Sunday. Okay. In terms of the operations, it is interesting because some years ago, Al Jazeera, the Arab TV station, aired a video of American troops in operation either in Afghanistan or in Iraq, and I can't remember which, but they did show an American soldier appearing to disappear. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be the first time that film has been shown of American troops with some form of stealth technology. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the local community supposedly had been warned that the military were undertaking a training operation. Which is just nonsense, because you don't fly a helicopter down a main street and drop soldiers down. It's just not a training operation. But nevertheless, the police blocked off the roads. The helicopters flew in, dropped troops down. There were some explosions that went off.
Right.
And some objects were carried out of a building. So it was no way was that a training operation. That was... Special forces, good guys, going after a stash of something very bad hidden in a building.
It was, I think it was called the Guatemalan Cultural Center next to a law firm there.
Exactly.
And if it was a biological weapon, it could have caused, and it was active, it could have caused presumably a lot of damage in the Los Angeles area. So I'm glad that they got it. Why? I'm just curious, Simon, why do they have to keep everything so secret to us? They treat us like children sometimes, where they can't disclose.
You mean why are the good guys not telling you? This is one of my bugbears, if you like. Uh-huh. It's because two things. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just going to answer the question.
Sure.
Because they fear mass panic. Absolute mass panic. Because if they were to announce the fact that there were some very evil people, very powerful, that they were playing cat and mouse with, that would really destabilize America. That's the first. And the second point is that the evil people are incredibly powerful still. And if the good guys went and made this public, it would mean that the bad guys had no option but to do their worst. Mm-hmm. So whilst it's still cards being dealt under the table rather than on the table, it means the audience who are watching the card game are not seeing the shenanigans, the chicanery going on. They think it's all okay, but really both sides are trying to outdo each other by fiddling cards under the table.
It's a little bit like the explanation for Roswell in 1947, where the government claimed later it was a weather balloon that came down. And
I'm going to do a little bit of that. I can't resist it. I'm going to do some of that on my talk on Sunday, simply because, of course, you have 4th of July coming up very soon.
That's
And of course, the Roswell incident was around the 4th of July.
That's right. It was. That was good. Good memory. Good memory, Simon. Good memory. Yeah. There was another article and another very important story about Julian Assange. Is to be extradited to the U.S. And you wrote that this is more positive than being extradited on the rape allegations. What do you think will happen to him when he comes to the U.S.?
Right. Well, some weeks ago, I'd said that the key point to look for was, would he be extradited to the US or Sweden, which is where they both stuck in extradition orders, the Swedish had and the American had. And I said, depending on where he goes, is going to tell you a great deal. Now he's going to America, which is very positive for Assange. Let us assume that he hasn't spilt all the beans. Let us assume that Assange still has something up his sleeve. Well, if that's the case, President Trump wants to know what that is.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you for explaining that. There was something else, again, not in our North American media, but a power outage, serious power outage in Argentina and Uruguay, has plunged hundreds of thousands without power. That was on June 16th. Any updates from that?
Well, what's happening is they're fighting over the president there.
There's a
movement to get rid of him, and there's a movement to keep him. And there's no coincidence that it occurred on an election. It wasn't the elections that were important. It was just the fact that it had more effect. So you've got the usual, the good guys and the bad guys fighting over this power outage. The only reason I think it went into Uruguay was simply because some of the power stations on the borders supply both Argentina and Uruguay. So Uruguay was not the target, but it had a knock-on effect.
Okay. Do you think the outage was caused by a weather balloon like in Roswell in 1947?
No, it was caused by advanced technology, not unlike that which brought down the power cable, the power poles. Your local power poles. It was the same technology that was used.
Oh, how interesting. Okay, thank you for putting two and two together, Simon, and dotting the I's and crossing the T's. There was another post you had on your website about on June 17th about Iran announcing that they will exceed the amount of uranium that they were stipulated to by deal to domestically produce. And if they do this... This fits in early what you're talking about. More than the tankers, though. This is another kind of a separate issue.
I've been busy, haven't I?
You have. You've been busy, absolutely. Yep. You've been busy.
I think I wrote on that one. I think I wrote quite openly. Has Iran gone mad? I can't understand if any country in the world makes an arrangement to produce a certain amount of radioactive material. And then publicly goes out and says, hey, we're going to exceed that because we don't care. You've either got a death wish or you are playing for such high stakes and you're convinced that you've got a chance of winning. I mean, it's just utter madness because never mind America, I'm telling everyone this now, that if they did go ahead and do that, it will be Israel that attacks them because... There's a track record here because it was Israel that attacked Iraq in the 1980s. Israel bombed a factory or a power station that was being built to make nuclear material. And if Iran gets anywhere near making a nuclear bomb, You know, even if America does nothing, the Israelis will. That's for sure.
Interesting.
So I said Iran must be going mad, because it makes no sense at all.
Right. Yeah. And Iran has their hardliners too, I guess. They must.
Two groups. The highest cleric. He's actually the guy in charge, mm-hmm. but interestingly enough, he's not satanically controlled. Mm. He's like the Ayatollah. He's the top man from the religious side, but Iran has a president, and the president is much more part of the cabal. Hard to grasp, but so you've got this religious leader who is so deeply religious that he's not actually, because remember, the Pope is not particularly religious. You could say, the Pope is very religious, therefore wouldn't be involved in the worldly concerns. But of course, the Pope is. Now, this guy in Iran, he's not involved with the worldly concerns. So he's actually, believe it or not, quite independent. But the presidents who are involved in the politics are quite difficult. So Iran is split down the middle between the religious side, which is reasonably okay, and the mm-hmm. political side, which is pretty awful.
Mm, interesting. Well, thanks for explaining that, Simon. We get, in the U.S. anyway, we don't get any news at all about what's going on in Iran.
It's terrible that you guys don't get a bigger picture. It's awful.
Well, more people watch the Cartoon Channel than CNN nowadays. But the thing to do, since the Cartoon Channel has such a big following, if they put news in it, maybe they'd be better off. I don't know. Huh. Anyway, you had another piece on your website, Simon, about Mohamed Morsi, the ex-president of Egypt, and he was on trial for spying, but he was slated for murder if he spoke out. And he was going to speak out, and he ended up dying. That was apparently murdered in the courtroom.
Isn't that amazing? Actually, not just dying outside in the street or in a car crash or drowning in his bath, but died actually in the middle of a court case. You're actually in the courthouse.
Wow.
And you die. The timing of that is incredible. So whatever they used was instantaneous.
Right.
And in fact, they wanted to send a message to somebody, and they thought the best way to do that was, i.e., if you're going to go to court and you're going to testify against us, this is what's going to happen to you.
Mm. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. You had another fascinating post about Chancellor Merkel of Germany on June 18th. That's where she was filmed having an uncontrollable shaking fit, just as Hitler did last year of the war. And my question was Parkinson's disease. And I did some research on Parkinson's before coming on the show tonight. And it's believed to involve both genetic and environmental factors. And those with a family member affected are more likely to get the disease themselves. Mm-hmm. There have been rumors that Chancellor Merkel is one of the daughters of Adolf Hitler. And any more comments on that? That's an interesting video.
I mean it was been widely watched, because it's, you know, it was filmed by an official, you know, media, because they were there. Right. It was a sort of a state visit. This wasn't filmed on someone's cell phone. This was officially filmed. So it's you can't refute it. I mean, there it is. It's there in black and white. And the question is. Right. Why would suddenly somebody have an uncontrollable fit, and you know, unless it was ongoing neurological damage? And I made the point that, in fact, actually, it was after the Battle of Stalingrad in 1942, mm-hmm. with a great shock. We weren't there, so we don't know it. But the shock to the psyche of the Nazis at the loss of Stalingrad. Can't describe it. It was an enormous shock. And Hitler's left arm started, and his left leg started to uncontrollably shake from that moment onwards. So what happens is that if someone has it genetically, it is a great strain, trauma, or shock that activates it. Now, if there are certain leaders around the world who can feel somebody breathing down their neck, to slap some sort of court case on them, then
Right.
it's not surprising that certain people are beginning to crumble under the strain.
Interesting. Well, thanks for explaining that so much, Simon. Are there any other topics briefly you'd like to talk about before we go to listener emails?
No, I think I'm worn out. Why don't we just go on to some questions?
All right. This is an interesting question from Tracy in the Isle of Man here in the UK. She writes, "May I ask Simon for his thoughts on Q? Who does he think the group consists of? How it got started? Is there anything significant going on to be disclosed by them? And who's the mastermind behind Q?" I've also had Q on my show, by the way. He's told me things that I can talk about and certain things that I can't talk about. So anyway, with that background, here that was Tracy's question from the Isle of Man.
Well, originally it started because a certain group in American government wanted to bypass the normal channels because they thought the normal channels wouldn't cover it. So originally some very accurate and truthful information was got out through through certain individuals or certain websites.
Right.
But since then, it's become a bit more of a what I'd call a freelance or a franchise. I've always assumed Q to have been a group of people and a supercomputer. That's what I've always considered it. So a group of individuals and a supercomputer who have a core of genuine information, but I think others add to that. So we have to be very careful because what's coming out, some of it is not accurate, but some of it is, just like everything else on the planet.
I can say this, it is a group of people, but that's all I can say. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Simon. You're right. I have another question. Gentlemen, going to the festival in Glastonbury that starts tomorrow. Glastonbury, as you know, is Britain's most spiritual center. The big telecom companies are planning a full rollout of 5G starting tomorrow in Glastonbury. Is this a good thing? And what will happen to the people who are there?
No, I don't believe it is a good thing. I've never supported it. I think 5G, just for no other reason, we can simply say that 5G is not just an upgrade. It is a completely different system. And we know that because your cell phones won't work on 5G. You have got to go to the store and you've got to trade up to a different model cell phone to get 5G. So that tells us that this is a completely new technology.
Right.
A difficulty that we have as humans is that we are biological organisms. And if you're going to do something like this, you really ought to test it on living tissue. Now, Poland, American listeners may struggle to know where Poland is. It's what we used to call an old Eastern European country.
Right.
Poland has banned 5G. The whole country. Whole country has banned 5G. And the rationale behind it was because there have been no empirical medical tests. What does 5G do to people? And it's a fact. There's no science. There's nothing.
Wow.
So why would you roll something out if you've not tested it? So the question is actually not why did Poland ban it? The question is, what strength of determination does the leaders of Poland have that nobody else has? Why was that government so confident that they could cancel 5G and not all end up dead? So why are there some leaders who are quaking in their boots, absolutely terrified to ask these questions? Yeah, here you go to this, no, don't mean to be disrespectful, but an old ex-communist Eastern Bloc, although now it's a democratic country. Why are they so strong? You know, so there's something not right. There's something very wrong with it. And I've always said this, that I fear, and I use the word, I don't often use that word, but I fear that this product, this 5G, will be rolled out and there will be a collateral damage and they'll have to turn it off. So we'll see.
I agree. I agree. I met a very interesting, lovely lady from Edinburgh today, and outside London, and she can't live in her house anymore in Edinburgh because the city council there, in their wisdom, has instituted a new 5G system, and she's a classical music composer. She can't do her work anymore. The system that's it's that she's got this the 5G's out just outside of her house, and she says that it interferes with her. She can't do any of her work anymore. And I said, well, can you file a claim with her against the government? She said, no, you can't file a claim. You just It's the National Health Service in Britain has not recognized EMF, low frequency radiation from 5G cell towers as being harmful. So there you don't have any recourse except maybe sell her property. Sad case, but the time, of course, is to speak up now against it before they put it in. But I'm sure we'll have more on that in the future, Simon. I received a question from Mary Jane in New Zealand. And she writes, Dear Simon, there was a revolution in the 60s. You said we nearly made it. I'm wondering if powerful people that died around the same time, such as Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and Jim Morrison, were suicide. Yes. I'm sorry?
The answer is yes, because
yes.
These individuals were focal points for a peaceful revolution. And the CIA, as it was back then, were writing reports saying that the government of the United States was on the verge of losing control. Mm-hmm. Basically, you had one hand, you had things like the Vietnam War.
Right.
And then you had this great movement opposing the Vietnam War. And this really affected the politicians. It really affected mm-hmm. them. And mm-hmm. if you had these key singers who were singing about peace or singing... even if they weren't singing about against the war, they certainly weren't supporting it. And the result was that a number of these key people died in tragic circumstances. And also I'll add that during this time of the Vietnam War, if you were a filmmaker, you were much more likely to get your television series or your film through with plenty of funding if you were supporting that concept. And Your audience, if they had watched the original Star Trek, which ran from, I think, about 66 to about 1969,
right.
if you look at the concept of that, the fire first, ask questions afterwards, and then you look at the more later episodes of The Next Generation, you can see how everything was about, you know, shooting and then... you know, justifying it afterwards.
Right.
And so that was the culture. Very, very hard for people who weren't living through it and old enough to live through it. And that was the culture of the US. And it's not the culture now.
Right, right. No, I agree. I agree. There's actually a second part of the question. I'll read it quickly. In our time, Mary Jane writes from New Zealand, this seems to be happening a lot with Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington because they were exposing the Satanists and loved by the people. It seems so wrong that they were remembered as taking their own lives when in fact they were murdered and their killers go free. Anyway, well, thanks for commenting on that. I appreciate it, Simon.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a couple more questions have just come in now. Let me get to the next one. This was from Germany. Anas. Hi, Anas. You're listening now. I know you are. Would you kindly ask Simon this question? I'm a lucid dreamer, and I always get to see my future. I'm also very telepathic and know about people's intentions in similar situations. I constantly see aliens reaching me. In one of my dreams, they purportedly wanted me to know that they're here to talk to me. He goes up in spacecraft, and they talk to him. They land in front of him and come out and talk to him. Much of the information is lost. They've taken my DNA once and asked for my permission before doing so. Question, would you suggest for me to work this out in order to remember the details? Do they purposely clear my memory about their visitations? Many thanks and love and light from Hanover, Germany.
All right, thank you. It's a very simple answer, and that is you have to be cognizant enough when they take you to actually say these words to them, I wish to remember, it's my body, I have a right to remember. I'll repeat that. I wish to remember, this is my body, I have a right to remember. And if you do that, I'm not saying you'll remember everything, but you will remember a fair bit. So you have to tell them that you wish to remember. And if they're working with you and they value you, they will have to comply with that wish.
Okay. All right. And I think a good thing to do is to follow your heart. If it doesn't feel right, then certainly don't go along with whatever they're trying to do. Understanding
that question, that person has no problem with what's going on. Mm-hmm. This person hasn't been harmed. They're obviously working reasonably well with them. And what the person wants is to understand why. This woman wants to know what's going on, what's it all about.
Right.
And she's fishing at that point, but she's not being harmed. So for her, knowledge is strength. Knowledge is power. And for her to remember and come back. And if she comes back and remembers that they've hurt her, then she knows what's going on. But if she comes back and she remembers something more interesting that's not a pain, then she can begin to follow the narrative. Knowledge is power. It's very important. People, they have their own sovereignty and they say, I want to know what's going on.
This is, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that, Simon. We've got a few minutes left and I wanted to go back to JFK Jr. And the question in the video asked, or you asked, would JFK Jr. run alongside Mr. Trump?
Yeah.
And would Mr. Trump's son run with JFK Jr.? Any updates on that? That's interesting. Interesting question.
It's a very interesting question, isn't it? I'm going to be talking about that on Sunday. But what I would say is that if John F. Kennedy Jr. was alive, and if he was alive.
Right.
Then it would be a very powerful ticket because you would pull in voters from all political persuasions.
Right.
And so it would definitely be a dream team.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if John F. Kennedy Jr. is physically not on the planet, it can't happen, can it? But if it were to happen, then we could be sure that they would be elected.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes left, Simon, 2.5 minutes left. And I want to give you the rest of the time.
I don't know. No, my friend, I have nothing further to say.
Okay.
thank you. It's just that there is so much happening.
Yeah.
And I think I would ask Americans, please, to pray for your president.
Okay.
Pray for him to give him the strength to resist certain people around him who want to bomb the bits out of certain countries. So just send some prayers to your president. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. He's your president, and it's very important that he makes a decision that is good for the people of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Simon. Well, Simon, as always, thank you so much for coming on. Simon will be on my show again on July 5th, which is just after 4th of July. the 5th, and I will be broadcasting live from Mount Shasta during that time. I'll be going down to Mount Shasta in a very short amount of time, and the people from Mount Shasta, Adama, and the people of the Hollow Earth said that they would give me another miracle healing. I lost 10% hearing in my right ear in a car accident years ago, and they said they would restore it to me. So I'm very much looking forward to the trip. So, Simon, thank you so much for all your wonderful work, and again for coming on my show today. And I hope that you have a wonderful time at Carrie Cassidy's conference this weekend. It sounds like a wonderful time.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
Okay. Thank you, Simon, so much. Have a wonderful day, my friend. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Simon Parks coming to us live from England, and I'm in London, England tonight too, actually. Tomorrow I'll be going to Geneva, and then from there to Munich, Germany, and then to Dresden, back to London, and then on to Reykjavik, Iceland for presentations. If you are in any one of those cities, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. During the next segment of the program, next hour, I'll be playing interviews I had with the wonderful people from Findhorn in Northern Scotland. Please stay tuned, friends.
He comes.